court. Notice Jerry Strassheim appearing for the appellant. We are here today for three general reasons. First is, this case never should have gone to trial. The second is, if it went to trial, it should never have gone to the jury. And the third is, if it went to the jury, it should never have gone on the instructions that it went. First, the case should never have gone to trial. There are two motions in the record. One motion is to dismiss the case because the Secretary of State had issued a certificate that they were entitled to do business in Nebraska. That issue was put in the case in 2009. It's been there for years. And even though that issue has been there time and time again, there was never any certificate obtained by the plaintiff. Now, I might say that the lower court said when we moved to dismiss on that ground that he was unpersuaded by that argument. And he cited it, which is not a, second motion. But in any event, we might as well tell the unicameral to go home because the statutes they pass, the courts aren't paying any attention to. Anyway, now, the second reason that that case should never have gone to trial was a motion for summary judgment based on preclusion. And the preclusion was, arose in a way that's set out in a brief. My client had undertook to expand their ethanol plant, which they operated in southern Nebraska. They had entered into a contract with KL Process, which was a limited liability company, now bankrupt, but the company was formed under the laws of South Dakota. Now, the project to expand the ethanol plant went down. It was simply unprofitable and had to be discontinued. Now, at that time, there were a lot of people that had, not a lot, but probably half a dozen, creditors that had filed construction liens on the ethanol plant in Lincoln County. And one of them brought a suit, and in that suit, they said that the plaintiff in this case may have a claim because it had filed a construction lien and served summons on the plaintiff in this case. And the district court judge, it was Judge Rollins out in North Platte, first entered an order saying, we're going to enter a default judgment against people who don't appear in this case. They didn't appear in the case, and the judge entered a default judgment. Now, the judgment was entered on virtually the same facts as are in this case, because what the plaintiff did in that case, the plaintiff in this case did, was simply to ignore, again, the order of the judge, and didn't appear, and so the plaintiff simply ignored the proceeding, went ahead and filed another suit in Douglas County. Now we say that, that's res judicata. We think there's preclusion by the default judgment out in Lincoln County. We think there's res judicata because it's exactly the same nucleus of facts. Res judicata extends not only to what was argued, but what might have been argued, what the claim might have been presented. We think there is actually also collateral estoppel because the claim, when we cited the case in our brief, the claim of a construction lien includes a contract. And so there was, in effect, a judgment by the court in North Platte that there was no contract. So for those two reasons, I think the case should never have gone to trial.
To assert that would have required a cross-claim?
It would have required a cross-claim, Your Honor, I believe.
And thus you're arguing that that was a mandatory cross-claim?
Yes. Okay. Now, the reason that I'm not going to belabor this point, but the reason that the case should never have gone to the jury was that the theory on which the case was pled and tried was that there was a contract between MRE, my client, and the plaintiff in this case. Well, that was the only way that it went to the jury. It went to the jury not on the theory of an implied contract, it's simply an express contract made by an agent on behalf of our client. There's no evidence under fundamental agency law of agency. There is evidence that the plaintiff understood it was that AL was our agent. They weren't.
Did the jury make a determination that there was a contract?
The jury did by a general verdict, Your Honor, so that they made a determination that there was a contract in that sense.
And what is our standard of review on that?
Well, I think there has to be sufficient evidence to submit that to a jury first, that there was an agency. There has to be enough evidence so that would be an appropriate finding, and there wasn't. Both people testified there was no agency. Agency requires consent. Well, it requires control by MRE. No evidence of any of those.
Is that a finding applied by the jury verdict that there was agency?
Yes.
Or is it a legal question?
I think it's a legal question, Your Honor, in the sense of sufficient evidence to go to the jury, but I think whether there was or not is
the jury thought there was sufficient evidence to do that.
It did.
So this goes to your assignment of error of the overruling of your direct motion for directed verdict.
Yes.
Okay.
The instructions, I'll simply say this. The instructions given to the jury never should have been given, or at least more should have been given. Our theory was, and the testimony was, the evidence was, that there was an independent contractor relationship between MRE and KL. They were not our agent, they were an independent contractor. Judge refused to instruct on the definition of an independent contractor, even though the parties testified to it. He refused to instruct also on the fact that there was a requirement that the plaintiff do some sort of investigation and reasonably conclude that we were agents, and they hadn't done any. They refused to have done any. And so for that reason, we think the instructions are at error. Because we're entitled to have the case submitted on our theory if there's evidence to support it. I'm out of time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And you, sir, are Mr.
Von Oldenburg.
Good morning, Mr. Good morning. Von Oldenburg.
Thank you. Thank you to the court. Thank you to counsel. I am here representing the appellee. I would start by saying there was a 2.5-day trial in this matter. The jury did take it under advisement, and they did render a decision in favor of my client, and that should be respected. They did hear the testimony and the credibility of both sides. Before I jump into why factually this is correct, quickly on the legal reasoning, we argued this to the lower court, and the lower court agreed. Tilt 2. It's your guys' decision in Tilt 2, and after that, in Refrigeration Co.
Mr. Oldenburg, you just referred to us as you guys.
I'm sorry. I apologize. This court's decision in Tilt 2, as well as Refrigeration Co. Inc. versus Omaha Cold Storage, says these actions can be brought together or in succession. It's been contemplated. It's been decided. And it's clear it's not res judicata. In this case, Avid Solutions filed a construction lien foreclosure. They had a first cause of action that was just against MRE, which was breach of contract. We weren't part of that first cause of action. All we would have been part of is a construction lien action, which is just a lien right on the property. It's not the whole action. It's not even a breach of contract action. My client, gave up that lien right, but did not give up his common law right to breach of contract. There was no privy in that first thing for res judicata. There was no collateral estoppel because there was no issues decided that pertained to this action that was in Douglas County. So that's out. As far as the certificate of authority to do business, why does the statute say after that the following doesn't include doing business? And it's called a non-exhaustive list. And that includes maintaining an action. That includes interstate commerce. This individual does not, my client was not transacting business, first of all, in the state. It was a sort of a one-off for an ethanol plant. That's not what the U.S. Supreme Court was going to decide, that Nebraska could start regulating people who come in to give technical services on these one-off bases. He doesn't solicit in the state. He didn't solicit at all. They asked him to come. He did his job. He left. For those legal reasons, it should have gone to a jury, or it should have been before the court. As far as the jury, I think what is missing here, or what I can't believe they never addressed, is LV 775. It's all over their testimony. Why this changed? Yes, they did have a contract. It was Exhibit 44. I call that contract seldom seen and never used. The contract was only known between the subcontractor, well, K&L, and MRE. They only knew it. They testified to that, both of them. MRE testified, no, we never told them of this contract, my client. And K&L on the stand for Randy Kramer, no, I never told them that. Even though the contract specifically says you're supposed to put that in all your subcontracts. But more important about that contract, as the comptroller, Ms. Thielen, testified for MRE, that was in contemplation of them giving them turned out to be $55 million they were going to give them, and say, hands off, we don't want to know. Instead, they looked into it, and then LV 775 comes along, and they say, wait a minute, if we do this, we get tax incentives of up to $7 million.
I beg your pardon, and that is after the seldom seen and rarely used contract.
Actually, that was decided before that contract. Remember, they sign up in 2006. They don't sign that contract until 8 months later.
Later. Okay.
8 months after my guy is signed up. That's when this Exhibit 44, this contract, this secret contract, is signed by the parties.
But the context of all of this is to take advantage of the features of LV 775.
Yeah, and who wouldn't? But there's a cause and effect here. To get that, you have to be the purchaser. So when they changed how they were going to operate, and show themselves to the state of Nebraska. They showed themselves to the state of Nebraska as the purchaser.
Purchaser as a word of art in the LB 775 context?
Well, but what does purchaser mean in any sense? That's the buyer of the product.
Okay.
Put it clear, in her testimony, and it's in the brief, she testifies, wow, the invoices were going out with K&L on it. I had to tell them specifically that you put MRE or we weren't going to get the benefit. That's their testimony. So for purchaser, for them, they had to show the state of Nebraska that they were investing in goods and services and people to get that benefit.
And they had to accumulate it in one place.
Well, correct.
Well, it would be tidier.
Yes. And so they were picking the subcontractors that they were going to pull out of that $55 million, and they were going to come over here, and then they were going to pay them directly. How do we know that happened? Because follow the evidence. Now, put every single letter, in every single letter, they're holding themselves out as the buyer. Sorry, we're late paying you. We're going to get you the money. And as I put in my brief, you're a great, thanks for your patience, you're one of our better contractors. Funny, at trial, they want to say he's the worst person ever. But in all those letters, then you look at the audit, and you could say this is a form of audit, and it doesn't mean anything. But as to the auditor, they showed themselves as the owner, and that they showed that they directly subcontracted with R.M. Campbell Services, my client. So what does that mean? So do they get the benefit of holding themselves out that way constantly, and then when it comes to liability, say that's not what it means? And that's what they did at the trial. Every time I would ask them, well, what does LB 775 mean? Doesn't that make you the purchaser? No, that doesn't matter. It's just a tax thing. But what about these letters you're writing where you're saying, sorry, we owe you the money, we're going to get you? Well, that's not what it means. It means that, yeah, we ultimately were going to pay, but we didn't contract with you. They don't get that benefit, and the jury said, no, we don't believe you.
So was KL Process acting with actual authority or apparent authority, and does it make any difference?
Well, this is how I argue it. I think they were working with actual authority. They had a plan. They had a contract. Then they decided not to use that plan, not to use that contract, certainly with my client. Once that happened, once they said, by law for Nebraska, we got to be the purchaser, then for my client, they became the principal to an actual known agent, K&L. Now, if you don't see it that way, then it's certainly through neglect and lack of ordinary care, which is apparent authority and implied, because they certainly acted with neglect and lack of ordinary care by showing everyone in the world that they're one thing and then having a secret contract that says something else. So to that degree, I think it's actual. I think it's a clear case of actual authority from start to finish. And it's the day they decided to get the tax money from the state of Nebraska. It's the day Penny Thielen says, I got to change it. We got to pay these directly. Under testimony. So I think those are fine. As to the jury instructions, I mean, the standard, as I see it, essentially, if it conforms to Nebraska law, and the jury instructions do, and they follow the evidence, they shouldn't be. The jury and the jury instructions shouldn't be overruled, be affirmed. And so I don't...
What about damages? What should the measure of damages have been, UCC or common law?
I would argue UCC because this was a project. They made a lot of it not being UCC because the service was the majority of what was paid. They didn't get to their whole project. There was another $900,000 that really had a lot of the second part of this would have been him getting all that equipment and getting it all installed. He had some of the equipment there, but he didn't have all of it. And so the whole contract was for goods and services. So I would say it was under UCC, but even under Nebraska law, it's what he did minus what wasn't done. And the instruction given is very clear. They're only entitled to what was done and wasn't paid. They didn't give him the whole $2 million contract. was only due, it was about $1.1 million, and he was left about $150,000.
So is your argument it doesn't make any difference? The damages would have been the same?
Damages would have been the same. They tried to argue substantial performance. As we argued in the brief, this is a clear case where they met the three-prong test of, and they went out there, did their work, completed what they could, and they did it in good faith, and then it was nothing due to them. As they testified and they argued here, the collapse of this project was all due to MRE and not my client. So with that, I thank you, apologize for my blunder, and I rest.
Thank you very much. Is there time for rebuttal?
Yes.
There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on then to the next case of the day, which is State versus Robert C. Thompson. I am recused from this matter. I am also recused from the last case of the day, so Justice Wright will be presiding in both of those cases. Please give me a moment to get out of the courtroom.